Welcome to Pediatrics Now. I'm your host, Holly Waymont. I work for UT Health San Antonio's Department of Pediatrics. We hope to give you a unique and behind-the-scenes edge from our expert guests.
Joining me back on the show today is Dr. Ed Brooks. He's Division Chief of Allergy, Immunology, and Infectious Disease at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio. He also has 30 years of experience in this field. And Dr. Brooks, you were on a national panel that set these type of guidelines.
That's correct. Yeah, went on for several years.
Thank you so much for being back here on the show. What are these guidelines? What is the most important thing to know first?
Well, it's an update to the national guidelines. So it's not a total revision of the guidelines. So the previous guidelines that most people have been following are perfectly fine. There's nothing inherently wrong. The big change is that we've instituted use of inhaled corticosteroids as needed, as opposed to on a standard schedule, which again is perfectly fine. But it appears that if you use inhaled steroids as needed during certain situations, it's a superior way to control asthma. And the specific circumstances that the guidelines addressed were in children with intermittent but severe episodes of asthma, particularly with viral infections. It's now been studied and appears to be superior to using inhaled bronchodilators such as albuterol alone to add inhaled steroids along with it. In those studies, used a liquid inhaled steroid called budesonide, and they used it twice a day during the exacerbation, and it showed some improvement in those severe exacerbations. And these are, again, children with mild intermittent, meaning they don't have symptoms other than during viral infections. So that's a big change. The other is something called smart therapy, in which a combination inhaler, and most of the studies were done with the inhaled steroid budesonide plus formoterol, which is long-acting bronchodilator. However, the difference with salmeterol, which is in the product Advair, which has a longer onset, the formoterol has a very short onset of action, therefore can be used as needed in place of albuterol or a short-acting bronchodilator. The guidelines now recommend that someone with moderate persistent asthma can use the combination once or twice a day, but then in addition, when they have symptoms, instead of using albuterol, it was shown to be very superior to use the combination inhaler as needed. And in children under 12, the guidelines would recommend up to a total of 8 inhalations a day or 8 puffs a day. And for older than 12 years old, up to 12 puffs a day. And the outcomes were extremely significant for reduction of exacerbations requiring hospitalizations or oral corticosteroids. Now, one of the things that people were concerned about, oh, will they get a lot more of that medication and therefore use a lot more inhaled steroid? It turns out in the comparative trials, people did not use excess inhaler and actually used a lot less of the inhaled steroid in addition to not requiring oral steroids. So the overall exposure to corticosteroids was less using what we call SMART therapy, which stands for single maintenance and reliever therapy. That's probably the biggest sort of, I'll say, psychological change. Why that is because we, for years, have used inhaled steroids on a schedule once or twice a day, and then as needed bronchodilators. Using as needed inhaled steroids has not been FDA approved in this country. However, the Guidelines Committee and NHLBI are working with the FDA to allow people to get. Sometimes you may have a bad month, you may run out of that inhaler. That's another concern. And so they're working with that, as well as working with school districts in which children have always had a rescue inhaler, albuterol, and convincing everyone that if they use their combination inhaler. So the two inhalers that are marketed in this country that would fit this therapy are, one is called, it's a budesonide and formoterol, and that's marketed under the name Symbicort, and there's generic. And there's also mometasone formoterol, which is marketed under the name Dulera, and again, there's generics of that. And so getting a child two inhalers is still a bit tricky. It's tricky in terms of insurance coverage to make sure all the insurers will actually cover an additional inhaler if they need it. Again, the research suggests that they'll actually end up using less. And so a general approach would be prescribing, and when, the way they did the studies, prescribing the inhaler one puff once a day for mild asthma, mild persistent asthma, or up to two puffs twice a day on a regular schedule. And in addition, using, again, up to eight puffs total in children under 12, or up to 12 puffs extra, 12 puffs total in older children and adults during exacerbations of their asthma.
Which it might, with children under 12 especially, it might be hard to keep track of during the school day how many puffs he or she has had.
Right, right. And toxicities were very low. And there's been some concern about using that plus additional albuterol. But again, there really were no concerns in the multiple studies that were reviewed of toxicity. And in general, as I said, they end up using less of the medication. And the theoretical background to why that is because the combination, the two medications delivered together have a synergistic effect. So it has an amplified benefit, and it's borne out in the data, particularly with regard to frequency of exacerbations and severity of exacerbation. Again, they're together in the same inhaler.
Okay.
Already. So you don't have to take two different inhalers.
Now, okay.
This topic has come up as well, where patients have been on an inhaled steroid and a bronchodilator, and additional research has come out since the guidelines, and it's shown that's also as effective. In other words, if they're taking fluticasone, let's say two puffs once or twice a day, and then they need the extra albuterol, it seems to be effective to use albuterol plus additional fluticasone. So you're adding additional inhaled steroid to the regimen. And so one easy way, every time you use albuterol, use your Flovent, just match it puff for puff. And that seems to give, again, a similar synergy of the effect. And again, obviating, hopefully, the need for oral steroids or emergency room visits or hospitalizations.
Well, you know, the saying less is more, and taking two at once, so there's more in there, but then it turns out to be less because you need less because it's more effective.
Correct.
Right?
Children stay under better control and their episodes are shortened, and where they don't need to continue taking high doses of the medication for a prolonged period of time.
What would be some symptoms the parents, you know, that their children, and tell the children, this is, if you're feeling this, this, and this, it's time for another puff?
If they're having cough, it seems to be relieved by the albuterol. Many reasons for cough, one of which is asthma, but many children, their primary symptom is coughing. If they're coughing when they're running and playing, exercising is a common trigger for asthma, then they need to increase the inhaler frequency. And of course, coughing at nighttime, in the middle of the night, children with asthma wake up and, you know, middle of the night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and have a cough, 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 as opposed to simply clearing their throat. And those are the early warning signs of asthma. And so there's two ways we classify the severity of asthma. One is how the chronicity of it, and that, in other words, how often are they having symptoms during the week, with exercise, with at nighttime. And the other is what we call the risk domain, in which they're at risk for having severe exacerbations. I'll go back to the example I mentioned about children with viral infections that have severe exacerbations that end up in the hospital. And in between, they're perfectly fine. They have no symptoms, no warning signs of asthma at all. And so this is a classic phenotype of very young children who are very sensitive to some viruses that trigger asthma. And so using, again, the inhaled steroids during the periods where they have their viral episodes is very effective at reducing the severity of those episodes. In the past, we might have reclassified them as persistent asthma and recommended they take inhaled steroids all the time. And one of the parameters, we used to use the rules of two. If you have more than two episodes per week of cough or wheeze, if you have more than two episodes at nighttime with coughing or wheezing, or if you have more than two episodes of exacerbations in a year that require oral steroids, we might, even though in between they're perfectly fine, we would reclassify them as, quote, persistent asthma, and then treat them with daily inhaled steroids. Well, with the new guidelines, basically, regardless of how we end up classifying them, you know, if they beat the rules of two by the two severe exacerbations a year requiring steroids, but the rest of the year they don't require anything, then it makes sense to treat them with inhaled steroids during those episodes to avoid the use of systemic steroids or oral steroids, which we know have long-term side effects.
What are some of those long-term side effects?
Well, you know, when a child's on a course of oral steroids, they don't grow. So the growth inhibition is the biggest concern. And inhaled steroids in higher doses can also have a similar effect. So the least amount of corticosteroids we expose them to, the better. The other is risk of fractures and osteoporosis. They have an effect on that. And some studies have shown with five or more courses of oral steroids in a year, a child is at higher risk of having fractures. There are some more what we call idiosyncratic or rare side effects of cataracts. Obviously, elevated blood glucose in children who are pre-diabetic is also a concern. And again, it's worse with oral steroids than with inhaled steroids.
And is it because the inhaled steroids are going right to where the irritation is happening?
I think that's part of the explanation. The synergy between the two, the beta agonist and the corticosteroid, seems to have a more beneficial effect on relieving bronchospasm and airway inflammation.
So, and I know you mentioned toxicity, so it's got to be stressful having a child who has asthma. And then on top of it, with everything else you're trying to keep track of, work and home and kids, and then if you can't remember if your child has already had eight puffs and he or she's under 12, is it a big deal if they have a ninth one and you can't remember? Or do you want to say anything there?
Again, I'll just, the data in all the studies didn't show any toxicities. They chose these numbers to do their clinical trials. Mm-hmm. So they didn't go higher, but that's why the recommendations come down on these. So I personally don't think it's a big deal to go extra, but guidelines are guidelines.
It sounds like it's pretty complicated, but then kind of when you put it, as you're saying, bottom line, then it isn't that much to keep track of.
It's actually much easier, in my opinion. I've been doing this approach for many years, and basically the concept is if you have two inhalers, a rescue and a controller inhaler, again, we've had it beat into our brain that controllers you use regularly and the rescue medicine you use as needed. So I think we're just unlearning what we've been learning for the last decade or two. So with a combination inhaler, you have one inhaler, single inhaler. You don't have to worry about a second inhaler. That in of itself is simple. And you tell them, okay, you're going to take this inhaler once a day or twice a day. And then when you have a flare up, just use the same inhaler as often as you need it. And, you know, try to keep track of the number, total numbers of puffs. You know, if they're doing a single puff at a time, then, you know, 12 puffs a day, you'd have to be doing it, you know, pretty often without any benefit. And in that situation, you probably need to go to the emergency room anyway. And that those are the guidelines. If you reach that 12, then or 8 in the younger kids, then you probably ought to be seeing your physician anyway. Because it's not 100%. Some exacerbations are severe and that you need to seek medical care. But for the most part, again, just using that. And again, I just sort of say, well, before sports, use your inhaler. You have one inhaler to remember. That's it. And so in that respect, it is simpler.
And again, it's up to 8 puffs, recommended 12 and under, and up to 12 puffs if you're over 12.
Right.
So, and do you recommend always before athletics, say if a child's going into PE, taking a dose, even if they're not, he or she isn't coughing?
No, I don't.
Okay.
In fact, that's one of the questions I ask the patients. I say, well, when you go out and play or do something, do you cough or have trouble every single time? Because it's a good feedback for me. And if the answer is no, then no, you don't have to use it pre-exercise.
One of our pediatric listeners for Pediatrics Now was asking, what about when there are medication shortages? What do you do then?
All inhaled steroids are about equal. So if a child is on an inhaled steroid, it doesn't matter. Same with the bronchodilator products. They're all equal. And so if you're on one of these combination inhalers and there's a shortage, you just revert back to the two inhaler system. And again, you can use it the same way. Use your controller inhaler, you know, once or twice a day, and then use the combination as much as you need it. Again, follow the same guidelines about 8 and 12 puffs. And that's been shown to be more effective than only using albuterol alone. That's the only change. The only change is instead of albuterol alone, you're using two inhalers each time you need rescue inhalation.
Well, Dr. Ed Brooks with the University of Texas Health Science Center, thank you so much for being here back on the show on Pediatrics Now.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Pediatrics Now. I'm Holly Waymond. I hope you can join us for our next episode.